As Aravalli is turning to be more secure and safe, we are happy to inform that the security service has launched a new security team with well-trained guards and with more plans implemented. So today we have the security authorities Samuel and Srijita with us in the studio. So let's hear it from them to get a better knowledge about what's happening.
The first thing is I wanted to ask, what are the new plans that you have implemented with the new team, the new security team?
So to speak about new plans, I think we need to also speak about what has been done before.
Before, yeah.
And we should not neglect it.
Yeah.
I mean, security so far has been led by Ramesh and Andamai and Shaha, who has been doing a great job just implementing the situation that we have now. They have worked with around 12 guards who are helping secure Auroville. So we have check posts in Auroville, we were filtering the traffic in Auroville, and also patrol around the city. This is one side of the security job. There's another side, which is to communicate and do the police liaison, actually. And that's about it. We started to work on security officially in April, the 1st of April 2016, but we have been preparing that since a year already, since the previous team sent their resignation to the working committee.
So how many security guards have you appointed for work?
I think what's important to say at this juncture is that there is a shift in the approach.
Okay.
Even though the contents might remain the same, that is, we have still about 16 guards with us, we might increase them depending on the situation and if we really need. But at the same time, we are also starting an Aurovillian patrol team, which means that we on different routes, Aurovillians will be patrolling in the evening times where we find the maximum of incidents happening. So there is definitely a shift in the approach. As regards the police liaison work, there is also a shift in the approach because here I can speak for my previous experience of having worked with international police, and therefore I would like to bring that experience to the service of Auroville. And we have met with the superintendent of police at Vilippuram recently, and he has promised to render all service and help that is within his possibilities, and we are very happy to have that collaboration with them. We are meeting the Auroville police station regularly for follow-ups. We have also started working on an email system, and not only just by phone calls and trying to get complaints done. We are working on follow-ups of complaints so that there is more coherence in the approach.
So the collaboration has started right now, or from before you had the collaboration with the city police?
I think the police liaison work was being done, but this approach which we have brought in the last 2 months is quite different, simply because I think the approach to the work, if it is different, the consequences and the results are different. So since April that we are in this position, yes, this approach has been in the field only since April.
Okay. As Srijita is speaking of approach, I mean, all of our work of restructuring somehow the security, that's what has been done since a year, actually, in which we have tried to find a better way to work for the team and to not be dependent on few people. So Srijita here and myself, Sam, are part of the four members of the vision team. The vision team is trying to, I mean, it's not trying, it does, it has the vision of what security should be and the direction it takes. Yes, and we wanted some of us to be also on the ground and to be directly connected to what's happening on the ground. We are a team of four. We wanted a team rather than one person to not be dependent and to avoid any effect of
irreplaceability, or we say, making one person indispensable. Also, it gives a possibility of an objective approach, because when one person is dealing with it, it could become extremely subjective. So that has helped with four members on the team.
So can you just name the other two?
Sure. The other two members are Carlos and Peter Clarence Smith.
Okay.
And so we have four of us right now on this team. And we are definitely keeping in mind, I think the most important thing on our mandate is, as Mother said, Oroville, a township where there wouldn't be the police, but would be protected by a battalion of guards comprising of athletes and gymnasts. So this is something which we are moving towards. We can't say it will be done in a year or two, but it is in our vision, it is very much our mission, and we do not forget it at every step that we want to work. Talking about the police, actually it's also in that we would require them only at certain moments and not always. So to have their collaboration in that field is very important, that we can call them when necessary or not.
So on what basis do you select your guards?
I mean, for now, we have guards that were part of the security since already more than 2 years, two or 3 years. Some of them have been part of the G4 security, which was working with Oroville 4 years ago, I think, if I'm not wrong. And so they came to join us, basically. They are trained guards who are still with us. We are looking for having more guards, actually, because we need more guards. I mean, for us, the fact that the guards have already been working in a security environment is for sure the most important. After that, of course, the initiative that they take, their reactivity, their language as well. I mean, all of our guards speaks at least Tamil and English, but it speaks also Hindi and many other languages, actually.
Okay.
I mean, they have to approach, they have to speak to many different
kind of people.
Yeah. So they also have to be patient, because sometimes more of them are not really easy to deal with, and also outsiders. So, I mean, we are looking for new people, but we surely select the one that fits the job.
So, recently, what are the decrease you've been seeing in the cases you face? Like, theft has got decreased, or what kind of things you've changed?
I think 2 months is quite early to state such things, but definitely that we have been patrolling as Orovillians has made a big difference to our Orovillian family, because I see that at least the number of calls we received in the first month and in the second month, there has been a decrease. It can mean several things. You can have several hypotheses.
Yeah.
Right now, it's the summer season. It's lean. There are less people. So that's why I'm saying, if we take all the parameters into consideration and make an analysis, it would take a little more time to give you a correct picture of the situation. But I think definitely we are more active on the terrain. We have responded to all calls that have come in. We maintain a log, we maintain a database, we give a report at the end of every month to the Working Committee and the Oroville Council. And yes, we are not doing miracles, but we are hoping for a positive change.
And changes happen every day. I mean, we work every day towards the changes that we want to implement and to, how can I say that, to decrease the number of incidents and prevent the incidents.
Mm.
That's our main task, preventing. Yeah.
Yeah, and the presence on the road, I think, does dissuade to a certain extent. We have, at least for myself, I can say, Sam can also say, that when we are on the road and we are from Oroville Security, we do stop people, three on a bike, we know now the profiles, cars coming in who do not respect our guards. And then when we are there, we say, okay, we take your number plates and we would take action. That is already a dissuasive factor. But we would require cooperation from the Orovillians. Just four members on the terrain will not do the entire work. So that is why we are building slowly the Oroville Patrol, which I think is going to be a very important factor for preventing incidents to happen.
So you told us they're not supposed to carry weapons, your guards. So what is a basic thing they have with them to...
It's a presence, first of all, to be there at certain points where incidents do happen, to inform immediately the security in charge if there is an accident or an incident, because then we call in the ambulance or we call in the police, depending on the situation. The other thing is to escort. Sometimes we do get calls for escorting, and maybe it should be mentioned that the escort service ends at 10:30 at night.
Okay.
People have to understand, because in Oroville, most of the programs finish at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
So we do allow, if we have sufficient guards who can leave the place, to escort people back so that you are safe.
I mean, you have to see that the guards are active, despite what some might think. They stay on spot at different times, but they also patrol. And during the patrol, they check whoever they feel have a behavior that should not be here. If they see three people on a bike, for example, they will question. If they see people just roaming around, they will question. They question and they ask to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We ask them to report us before they take action. Because, as Shujita mentioned, they are civilian guards and we don't want anything to happen to them. Yes. So often, I mean, when it's one or two people, they just ask them to leave politely and make sure that the person leaves. But if they see that there's a situation which is more, which is tricky, yeah, they call me most of the time, and then I come and we deal with the situation together.
Are they 24 hours security team?
Yeah.
Do they work all 24 hours? Do they have shift or?
They can't work 24 hours.
The team is on 24
yeah,
hours.
Yeah, the team is on 24 hours.
Hours.
The highest season on Oroville is between December to March. So that's still far away. We have been fortunate to start actually at a time when we have the time for restructuring the team and getting the new ideas implemented. So to answer your question, will there be new initiatives? Again, I would come back to the point. The initiative is not on the quantity so much, on
the
quality. And I think it's important that sometimes it's not very conspicuous, I can understand. But as far as, for example, the police liaison is concerned, we have already seen a big difference in the approach with the police right now. We have a very good rapport with Oroville Police Station, with Kottakuppam Police Station, and they really respect us when we call up, because we are also on spot. If we do not collaborate and we expect them to come and we keep them at a distance, it's not going to work. As for myself or the team members who are there who speak Tamil, so we do all speak Tamil and English. Some of them also have started speaking English. They communicate to us by email, which never happened before. So these are probably very small things, but I think one should not neglect that we start in a humble way. And we look forward to much more improvement, like I may even bring to your notice, that we will be starting our communication with the walkie-talkies very soon, which is a much better way of communicating in Oroville, where cell phone coverage is not very easy at all times. But it will take some time, and we are only in June, so you will see the effects slowly coming in.
No, I think it's sure things will be changing. I mean, more people we have in the city, more we will have to adapt the patrols. We do it already. I mean, we adapt the patrols according to what's happening on the ground. I mean, if we know that there is an incident happening at some place, for sure we'll add some patrols there. And
which we have done only in the last 2 months. Whenever there has been a report on a certain incident or people have requested, we have changed our patrolling routes according to that.
The patrols, I mean, the routes are not predictable. And that's, for me, important, because we need to adapt to the ground reality. And therefore, there can't be just one route which is done every day, the same way, forever, at the same timing. That's not working. So every day we work on different routes to just adapt and cover as much as we can. We can't ask the guards, for example, to do the patrolling all the time, because first of all, it's very tiring. And because we need guards to be on the spot as well. More people will have, I think, more more it would be important as well to have the gadgets set in spots so that we know that they are there, and if there is an incident happening, then we know where to go to find a guard that can call us or deal with the situation. Yeah. We, as we said earlier, we hope to have more people, and right now some of our guards are have taken some leaves, and they will be all coming back in very soon, actually, preparing for the school start in July.
Okay.
Yeah, because that's, for at least for me, one of the important moments of the year when the school starts, because once we have the school, we have the kids, and we have to protect, of course, the students of Oroville, and they will have to adapt again the routes,
yeah,
the patrol, and where the guard are positioned. Yeah. We try to adapt always to the ground reality.
So during weekends, I find lot of outsiders coming into Oroville.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's a car, I know you can stop them.
Mm-hmm.
In the, you can only go up to visitor center parking, that's all. But it's of a two-wheeler and which has Pondicherry registration. No one can stop them. They are inside. So how do you deal with that case?
We've had several cases where we've been, at least we've been on patrol. We've stopped them very regularly. We've taken off the keys of the bike. It works very well. And now we know also more or less the profile. It's all mostly Pondicherry University students.
Okay.
I'm sorry to say that, but that is the reality. And we do not spare anyone.
Yes.
So the police are on to it. We have registered quite a few cases in the last 2 months. I would go further to even have a discussion with the Vice Chancellor to put a black record for these students, because filing a FIR, as many people think, is the best thing to do, is not often the most efficient thing to do. There are other methods which we have as legal tools available to us, and I have been studying them at length since I have done international law, and we are implementing them, and it has been dissuasive. Just to quote, unquote, one of the Pondicherry University students who said, "I didn't know we could be stopped." So now you go home and tell all your friends, yes, you are going to be stopped for loitering.
So they're not supposed to enter Oroville? Or
after a certain time in the evening, there is no need for people to be loitering around until and unless they have a certain destination. So if the destination is clear, or if the person is staying within Oroville or is a guest of an Orovillian, it's fine. But otherwise, there is no need in Oroville to be loitering around, because if we allow that, then how can we prevent untoward incidents?
It's a very difficult, it's very tricky, because, I mean, we know that on Sundays, for example, we have a lot of people running around. I'm patrolling a lot on Sundays because, I mean, Sunday is a day that I used to hate because of the energy which is inside Oroville, and all of these people just coming here, roaming around and not knowing, not having any destination, you know. And so we have people that are coming inside Oroville, going inside communities.
Yeah.
Yes, we can't have eyes everywhere, first of all. And that's where, for me, it's important that Orovillians also are present. We are Orovillians, or we are guests of Oroville or whatsoever. We are here. We, even if we have 20 guards working on a spot, we'll always miss
certain spots.
Certain spots. And that's where we, as Orovillians or citizens of Oroville, we have also to report such things. If you don't report what's happening on your side, how can we know?
We can also question. Before coming into the security team, I was an Orovillian. Isn't it so? How many people have I stopped on the road and said, "Sorry, what are you doing here?"
Mm-hmm.
You do not have to be rude. You have to be polite,
right,
and firm. That is the main training, may I say, which is required to be part of the Oroville safety and security team.
It's true.
And it is possible. If people start asking, if people start questioning, and then report to us, that can be done. You would not require 20 to 50 guards, civilian guards, to protect Oroville. So let's start with that.
I see some Orovians are already doing it.
It's very good.
Speaking with friends of mine, speaking with people who are concerned about safety in Oroville, they all tell me the same thing. Naturally, they start to question people. start to check what's happening around. Check by the community, check on the road, if they see somebody that they have doubts about it, simply. And it doesn't stop actually to call people. And that for me also is important, that we, I don't want to consider this separation between local and our village, you know. We can ask anybody what's going on, you know, if we have doubts.
Yes, I think what is important to your question is very pertinent, in the sense everybody should feel responsible for Oroville. And of course, there are certain things which we as security team members have to do. But I think people can authorize themselves to ask the question, and they should know that it is not okay for outsiders to just enter the community premises with a camera and just walk in. Oh, we're just taking photos. People should have, Orovillians and Oroville guests can question them. I think people are not very clear on that, whether they can question or they cannot. Well, the answer is yes.
So you say that people, visitors like them, should not come in and take photographs. How is it? Still, from which point are you making them
pause? It's not that they can't, but you have also to communicate with people. If you really want to, I mean, I see on the architecture point of view, because many students are architect students, they can take pictures, but they have to communicate with people. They have to inform people. They have to, you can't just come in a community and just take pictures of whatever you want. I mean, that there is a privacy that needs to be checked. And on top of that, if we see that people are just running around the community, we might ask, what are you doing here? And we might ask you quickly to leave, because when we open in such a way, we open to risk as well. Yeah, I mean, I won't give any example, but it's very easy to...
And I think I should go even more straight to the question to answer your question is, no, community premises belong to the community members. So if anyone is to enter, let us be clear, he or she has to have the permission.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is a message which should be clear, because I think there's a lot of confusion going on right now. And I do not blame the outsiders as well. Mm-hmm. Because when they come, they say, we did not know. And sometimes it genuinely is so.
Yeah.
So if we do not send out a coherent message, how can we expect the consequences to be clear? So my answer is very clear on this one, or our team, that community premises, if you enter, if you are not an intern, if you are not an architect, if you are not registered, well then no, you are not supposed to be there.
But even architects, I mean, for me, it's even interns or whatsoever, you have to communicate with people, you have to have the permission.
Of course, that goes without saying. It's
courtesy, exactly. You need to respect the intimacy of people. And I'm not sure if intimacy is the right word, but
the privacy,
yes, of people. Even if Oroville is open in some ways, it doesn't mean that you can do whatever you want with, however you want, without respecting the privacy of people.
It's like I do not walk into somebody else's house without asking.
Yeah.
It's just that this is a house on a much bigger scale. So it looks like a park. Somebody says, I came into a park. It was a naturally beautiful place. It's understandable. Now Pondicherry is so crowded, people do not have places to go and breathe. Therefore, we have this influx here. But I think if we want to also protect the peaceful atmosphere of Oroville, we have to say yes to the access within a certain framework. So if people know someone, they have a guest, fine. But if they do not know, community premises are private areas. So trespassing is not allowed.
So when you get hold of a thief or someone who's into wrong malpractice or something, so how do you deal them? You deal with them first and then you send them to the police, or how is that procedure?
So we have a protocol of working, of course, because otherwise there would be total confusion as well. Depending on situations, if the person is of local origin from a nearby place, or if the person is from Pondicherry, or if the person is from even further away, we would first question them, depending on the nature of the offense committed. And of course, in a situation where there is aggression, for example, we definitely call the police and we hand over, but we also know under which section of the IPC, which is the Indian Penal Code, or the CRPC, the person is to be booked. So we go to the police, we work together, and we make sure that the action is taken. That's what I was telling you. And we will also work on the follow-up. Because okay. as you know, in India, the laws are there. Implementation is often not 100%. So we have to work together. And we have the knowledge of that law in our team, which is, I think, a plus point. And we have to use it at the service of our will. So case by case, we deal with it. But we do work right from A till Z. And if people want information, yes, we tell them what is happening to the case, when the FIR was registered, how far has it gone. But we have difficulties also because there are people who are leaving station, like interns who come for 3 months, then if anything happens, they are not there. So it brings in difficulties in filing a complaint, because as you might know, when you file a complaint, then you might have to go to court for the facts, when you will be questioned, will be interrogated. So there are several details which I'm not getting into right now, but we do try to make the best of it so that it should not occur again. It should send out a message that it's not okay, this is not permissible in our way. So that is what we are working on.
So what is a case which you very often face? What is a case that comes to you?
I would say there are all different kinds of cases.
Yeah, several actually. I mean, harassment.
As far as women's issues are concerned, of course, there are harassment cases. There are bag snatchings. There have been attempt to assault. Of course, there are also theft, where people have just entered the community and taken over valuable things.
But we're hopeful for a wide range of things, actually. It can be, I don't have it in mind now, but it's very large what we are called for. It can be escorting, but it can be, harassment.
Yeah, in the case of an accident, we could be called also, and then we coordinate with Auroville Ambulance. If there is a police report to be made, then we coordinate with them, and it's up to them to take it up, which is then taken up in the form of an MLC, medico-legal complaint, which goes to the police. So there are also sometimes cases on that.
I mean, we are projecting to start training them again, okay, for them to have training and for them to be active doesn't sound right, but to be
more alert,
to be also more efficient, to be. And so that's one thing, but that's, apart from their salary, they do have food provided during their 24-hour shifts.
Which is on Sunday. Only on Sunday, when they do a total 24 hours.
Oh.
Morning and evening 12. So that's the only day the food is provided.
We are also working on changing that, actually.
Yeah.
Because 24 hours
it's
is...
too hectic.
It's too much, yeah. So, but everything is in process. And out of that, they don't have...
That's it. I don't think there's anything else. Yeah. Apart from the salaries, they get their food on Sunday and they have their earned leave, which is, I think, for everyone.
Yeah.
Like, they do have an EPF. They do have an EPF, which is quite good for them. Incentive-wise, I would say they are very happy already that they see there is more movement on the terrain, in the sense that they are going to be trained, as Sam was saying. It would be probably in first aid, also a little bit of self-defense. I would say a lot of work on brainstorming cases, case studies. And I think this is an incentive which we often forget. Again, a qualitative incentive and not a quantitative incentive. So since my background is from criminology and sociology, I can bring this point of view that often we forget that. And how much ever you increase on the quantitative incentive, it might not be enough. So for the moment, I think on the quantity, we are fine. On the quality, we are moving, and we can definitely see that they are happy because there is a collaborative approach between the security in charges, the field officer, and the guards. There is not a hierarchical approach, and that is something very important for Auroville. That is the spirit of Auroville.
I deal personally with them every day. I mean, I was with them just a few hours ago, And we had a talk about starting to train, actually. And they were all enthusiastic about it, which encourages me to go further with that. They want to work. They want to be active. Until now, they have been limited. And we try slowly by slowly to empower them. They are capable, but we just need to help them to be confident, first of all, and take initiatives and be safe as well, because they also need to be safe.
So that's
thank you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.